This audio presentation is the teaching of Pastor Scott Sharoma of New Hope, East Hawaii. In this second message in a two-part series entitled Abandoned, Pastor Scott explains that while God may sometimes feel to us as though he's nowhere to be found, he will never abandon us. As well, Pastor Scott also explains some steps that we can take to keep ourselves from drifting away from him. This message was delivered on March 4th, 2018. Here now is Pastor Scott.
Good morning, New Hope. Hey, when we was doing worship, I got to go take a peek in the gym and see all of our lovely children. They are so beautiful. If you ever get to just go and look at our children someday during service, man, we got some Sundays, we have upwards of 40 children in there. Man, and they're so beautiful, each and every one of them. They're just precious gifts. And I was in there, and I got to give some of them a hug and just greet them. And it's just, that's the future of our church, right in that gym right there this morning. Amen. Well, I'd like to welcome you. We've been in this second part of Abandoned, and last week we talked about, you know, if we feel like we're distant from God, it's not that God moved from here to the other side of the world, because he didn't. It's more like we unintentionally drifted away from the Lord. I know, happened to me, I drifted away from the Lord for like 20-something years. And I was in 20 years of darkness and destruction. And what I thought was fun, I was actually miserable. And unintentionally, I drifted away. And it took a lot of prayers for me to find my way back. And I thank God that I found my way back. And I plan never, ever, ever to leave again. Because I know what it's like to live without God and without his blessings. It is awful. You know, it saddens me when I look at the list of people who have come and who have left. Some people come and they get called and they go to another church and they do very well. Some people come and they leave for some reason and they're not in any fellowship. They kind of maybe unintentionally drifted away from the Lord. And it breaks my heart because I really missed him. It hurts to see that they're no longer here with us. You know, some of the people, they come, they see, they feel, they receive the goodness of God, the blessings, the fellowship, the encouragement, the love. Yet, they drift away. And it breaks my heart. Sometimes we come here broken. I know when I came to church, I was broken. God had to take me and allow me to be broken all the way down to the point of like desperation and death and just a place where I wish no one to be. But he had to allow that to happen. So I was broken completely down, ready to die, ready to give up on life, just so that he could build me back up. And sometimes when people come here broken, they're hurting. They receive the blessings from God. They get healed. They get mended. And when everything is good, when their marriage is all back together in shape, when their children is good, their job is good, then where are they? Only to let that cycle happen again. How many of you have been through that cycle? It's good, you come. You know, You're in church, the fellowship is good, and it's comfortable, and next thing you know, we miss one Sunday this month, next month we miss two Sundays, a quarter from now we miss three Sundays, and next thing you know, we miss the whole month, and then only to be broken down again and repeat that cycle. Well, I've been through that cycle, and I said, you know what, I don't want to do that cycle no more. I don't want to be like the Israelites. One more lap around in the wilderness. One more lap around in the wilderness. 40 years wandering. Man, don't you get it? Aren't you tired of wandering around for 40 years? I wandered around for 20 years, and that was miserable. It was terrible. It was awful. Some of these people who were here, they tasted the blessing. They sat next to you. They used to drink coffee with us here. But they're no longer here. They're no longer connected to a fellowship. I don't know for what reasons. Maybe they found another church, which is great. Maybe they had a tough trial. Maybe we need to look at that seat next to us who was there. Maybe we need to call them and ask them, how are you doing? How can I pray for you? We missed you. Maybe they got comfortable. And maybe we'll never know. Matthew 24:10. And if you have so happened to have brought your Bible today, which is great, you can open it up to the book of Matthew. Matthew is the first book in the... You guys get an A. Matthew. Matthew 24:10. And this is the words of Jesus. And many will turn away from me and betray and hate each other. Man, we see that in the world nowadays. People turning away from God. Hatred is all over the place. You know, I was looking on the internet, and I was looking at how many people who were once strong Christians, and now for some reason, they renounce their relationship with God, and they're now atheists. And I thought, wow, that is so sad. I mean, if you tasted the blessings and the goodness of God, how can you walk away from something so fantastic, so great, so awesome that words cannot describe, you know, having that relationship with God? But people do. But Jesus said, many will turn away from me. In Matthew 26, a couple chapters down, look what happened to the disciples. But all this has taken place to fulfill the scriptures of the prophets. So this is what happened. The disciples left him and fled. Okay. So just before this, these disciples, they were like just bragging to Jesus that they would rather die than desert him. In Matthew 26:35, Peter said to him, "Even if I have to die with you, I will not deny you." And all the disciples said the same thing. And then what happened when they came to arrest him in the garden? You know, you turn on the lights and you see all the cockroaches, poof! Oh, that's only in my house, huh? Yeah, as soon as they did that to Jesus, boom, they just went dig out. They said, "Oh, we would die, then betray you." As soon as they want to arrest Jesus, boom, there was gone. I mean, wow. Thank God they came back. You know, like when you turn off the light, the roaches, they're going to come back. Sad to say, yeah, but that's life. But anyway, these men, they were with Jesus for 3 years. If you was with Jesus for those 3 years, could you imagine seeing people who are dead come back to life, seeing hands that's withered be back to normal, seeing people that were paralyzed from birth stand up and walk. Seeing a blind man see again. And if you've seen all that, could you walk away from all those things? Many of us have seen the greatness, have experienced his presence, the miracles, the blessings. I mean, I look in the mirror and it's like, wow, I am a walking miracle from where I came. When I wake up in the morning, oh, thank you, Lord, you gave me another day. And experiencing all that, what would prevent you from walking away, from moving away from God? What would help you to intentionally stay near to God, not intentionally drift, unintentionally drift away from God? Because I don't think we do it on purpose. See, I think this is the enemy, the devil. He is sneaky. He is scheming. He kind of walks around and he doesn't cut us off all at once, but he puts little roadblocks slowly by slowly. And if we're not aware of it, next thing you know, we're completely cut off from the fellowship because we're not intentional about our relationship. So what can we do? Here, number one, you know, prosperity is a true test of our character. You know, when things are good, when we have our $1 million in our bank account, our the stock market is good, our retirement is set, I get, you know, 30 days of vacation a year and 30 days of sick leave. That's if you work for the county. Those are the smart guys who went there. I wasn't smart enough. I didn't get a county job, so, you know, you don't get those benefits. But when everything is good, you got your brand new Toyota Tacoma four-wheel drive, brand new fishing pole, brand new coach bag, and nice high-heel shoes, and, you know, your children all healthy and out of the house, and everything is good. The roses smell sweet. When everything is good, where are you at? Are we still connected to God? Or did the enemy put stuff in our lives that made us comfortable, made us prosperous, and we kind of like drifted away unintentionally from the Lord? Second Chronicles, this is what happened to some of them. When the kingdom of Rehoboam was established and strong, he and all Israel with him forsook the law of the Lord. And it came about in King Rehoboam's fifth year, because they had been unfaithful to the Lord, that Shishak, not Shershak, our Shak, okay? Not you, Shak, but Shishak, the king of Egypt, came up against Jerusalem with 1,200 chariots, 60,000 horsemen, and the people who came with him from Egypt were without number. The Lubim, the Sukkim, and the Ethiopians. He captured the fortified cities of Judah and came as far as Jerusalem. Then Shemaiah the prophet came to Rehoboam and the princes of Judah who had gathered at Jerusalem, because Shishak, and he said to them, "Thus says the Lord, you have forsaken me, so I have forsaken you to Shishak." He was good. Everything in his kingdom was good. He defeated the people he needed to defeat. He had his walls around his kingdom, and he was good. So because everything was good, they forgot about what had happened, where they came from, what God did for them. They just drifted away from the Lord. And somehow, you know, when we drift, the Lord allows things to happen to try and get our attention. You ever been there? You know, like, ooh, what was that? ouch, oh, that's nothing. Kind of numb already. When you drift so far and you get those pokes, ooh, sickness, broken arm, broken car, broke something, something trying to get your attention. And when we're numb to it, we just forget and we keep drifting. But those little pokes and jabs, there may be things that say, hey, don't go too far. Something's going to happen. So why? Reasons why people abandon God. You know, at the height of his popularity and power, the king abandoned the Lord. What happened? You know, I think often it is more difficult to follow Christ when things are good. I think for me and my life, if things were good all the way through, I probably wouldn't even be here. But because of the pain and the suffering that God allowed in my life, and it was like real pain, like spiritual, mental, all kinds, just emotional, from the drugs and the alcohol and all that pain, feeling lonely, feeling unloved, that pain, instead of pushing me away, because sometimes, you know, when you get pain, it can push you away from God because it happened before. But the pain pushed me to God. I think because of the prayers of my wife. We sometimes abandon God when things are good. When everything is going right in your life. When you think that, oh, man, my husband is good, my wife is good, my children is good, my jobs are good, we can pay our bills, we got food on the table, we're in the fellowship, we're connected, we got great friends. When things are going good, guard your faith. Guard your faith. Because when things are good, we tend to rely on ourselves other than God. Personal consequences. There are personal consequences when we abandon God. When we drift from God, there are consequences. And those consequences, believe it or not, they hurt. If you ever drifted from God, there's consequences. And it hurts. And it not only hurts you, it hurts those you love. It really does. You know, popularity and power, that's the two things that Rehoboam had, and he chose above God. But those were the first two things he lost when the Egyptians came and invaded the land. Through Rehoboam, we can discover the price that he paid for rejecting God. We don't have to be king to realize that our actions deeply affect the lives of others. King Rehoboam's abandonment of God led to his humiliation, the humiliation of his people. Here's a question that you might consider. How does the quality of your relationship with God affect those around you? How does the quality of your relationship with God affect the people around you? Because I know when I am not in God's word, oh, I get cranky. And I get cranky towards the ones I love, my wife and my children. I tend to snap. Because my relationship with God, somehow the devil got in between, crossed my wires, and the connection is like a little bit off. So when my wife comes home, I just, you know, go off and I get mad at her. We fight. And my relationship with God greatly affects my relationship with those around you. If my relationship with God is off, and then when I see you on my caller ID, I might not answer the phone. And you might be in need. And I hate that. So if I don't answer the phone when you call, maybe it's not my relationship with God. Maybe I'm driving and I'm trying to obey the law. Give me the benefit of the doubt, please. Don't start throwing stones at me right away, okay? Like, oh, you know, answer the phone. Drive past his house, throw a rock or an egg on his house. Egg his car or something. But look at 2 Chronicles 26. After Uzziah was a king, became powerful. Okay, so he's all powerful. They got all these weapons that they made. His pride led to his downfall. He was unfaithful to the Lord, his God. Entered the temple of the Lord to burn incense on the altar. And that wasn't his job. That was for the priest. But he became a successful king. They had catapults and all these weapons. They defeated all the enemies. Again, he was in a good place. And when he was in a good place, he forgot God. Sad. A lot of you are here right now. I think you are in a good place. Proverbs 16:18, pride goes before destruction, and a haughty or conceited spirit before stumbling. How many of you got pride? Yeah, I got to raise two hands. I tell you, I do have pride. When I am in the hardware store, I will not ask for directions. I worked in a hardware store. I should know where everything is. And if it's not there, then they have it in the wrong place. Simple as that. Yeah, and my wife keeps saying, go ask for help. No way. I will not ask for help in a hardware store and a fishing store. Sorry, I know it all. Pride goes beyond. I have pride. I have issues. And yeah, when I cannot find them for so long, I ask my wife, go ask for help. Terrible, yummy. I am human like the rest of you. I have pride. Yeah. So number two, here's the thing, prevention. We got to prevent. How many of you would like to prevent yourselves from drifting away from God? I mean, I hope all of us would want to prevent ourselves from drifting away from God, because drifting away from God is not a good thing. Because I don't think we intentionally drop everything and say, this is not for me, walk away. I think the enemy subtly puts stuff in our way so we slowly drift away. 1 Corinthians 3:18, let no man deceive himself. If any man among you thinks he is wise in this age, he must become foolish so that he may become wise. So here, the warning, not to glory in the wisdom of this age, because God's way of thinking is far above ours. He knows our useless thoughts of the wise. And these Corinthians were boasting about the wisdom of their leaders and teachers. Their pride made them value the messenger more than the message. Man, so that's what I think. When I think that I am smart and I know all this, I think again, because I ain't smart and I ain't all that. I am not smarter than a fifth grader or a second grader. I try, but, you know, I gotta tell myself every single day that I got something new to learn every day, and it never stops. Never stops until the day I die. Deuteronomy 5:32. So you shall observe to do just as the Lord your God has commanded you. You shall not turn aside to the right, to the left. Because that's how we stray. Instead of walking straight with Jesus, we go right. We go left. And sometimes when we're going and we're in line, we're walking straight with God, and the enemy throws a roadblock in the way, we need to understand or have discernment that, is it the enemy that's doing this and I need to just run through that roadblock? Or is this a detour that I need to like go around? And that's where when you mature, you can understand and have a discernment to either go through, go around. If you go around fast. Don't go around and get sidetracked and keep going left or keep going right, because that's not good places to be. Their obedience to all that Moses was about to teach them was critical in Deuteronomy. Their prosperity in the land, in the promised land, would depend on their obedience to God. And if you read the Old Testament and you know what happened when they went into the promised land and you know all the stuff that happens, you know, they drifted. They drifted. God sent armies against them. They got persecuted. They got beaten up. Then they went back to God. It was like a cycle. The whole Old Testament is a cycle of rebellion, obedience, rebellion, obedience, rebellion, obedience. And it's like, I look at it, it's like, come on, guys. And sometimes I call them knuckleheads. And then God says, you're the same way. Like, oh, the way you judge, you will be judged. And it's like, okay, I got it, God. Ouch. Yeah. So how do we prevent it? Last week I talked about guardrails. Man, put up some guardrails in your life. Say, I won't go past this guardrail, or I won't go past this guardrail. Because these guardrails are going to save your life. Put up boundaries in your life. Because those things will save your life. Boundaries will. And it'll help you from straying too far. This church, this fellowship, we have just a bunch of great and awesome people here. How can we help you from drifting away from God, from abandoning God? Because I believe, like I said, no one does this intentionally. But intentionally, we got to figure out ways that we can stay close to God. Amen? If you stop coming to church, the person on the next, on the right and the left of you, will they call you? Do they even have your phone number? I did this exercise in my office. And one day I am going to do it with you. Not to collect your papers. But maybe it's an assignment for you. When you go home or during the week, close your eyes and picture all these people here. And write down every single name of the person or the people you know in this church. I came up with like 90-something people. But it's more than that because like some of them I got like John and Amy on one line. So with all the names, I came up with 90-something, probably came out to like 120 or 140 people. That when I close my eyes and I visualize all of you, I can write your names down. Now, off the top of your head, how many names can you think of? If it's 5, is it 10? Is it 30? Is it 40? Because the more people you get to know, those are the ones who are going to call you when you don't show up for 1 month and you unintentionally drifted away. Those are the guys who's going to give you the tug on the ear. Hey, we miss you. Come back. Come back. Do you want that or you don't want that? Accountability. Hebrews 10:25. Okay, you guys can see that. Okay, let's read that together. Let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another and all the more as you see the day approaching. No, give up coming to church. Some has made the habit of giving up. Maybe they don't like my preaching. Maybe they don't like the way I look. But don't give up. Let us come here. Let us encourage one another. Let us build up one another. I mean, you can read your Bible every day and be close to God and not step foot in the local church. But the writer of Hebrews says, and he tells us, not to miss the fellowship so that we can receive the encouragement. How many of you, the only hug you get is on Sunday? One. Hey, so that means you guys getting hugs in your own family, right? Good job. I'm so proud of you. But even if I still get a hug from my wife and my children, I still love your hugs. I still, Auntie Frances, when she hugs you, she means it. She holds you. I mean, that's a serious hug. And if I was not in the church and not in the field, I would miss out on that. It's my loss. You know somebody who's missing? Give them a call this week. Tell them we're going to get choke food on Sunday. Come check us out. I invite people around my office and I tell them come. And I tell them even if you come at 10 o'clock after I finish speak, it's okay. It's okay. Come to the fellowship. I think the sermons and everything are okay. But afterwards, when we sit down and eat, that's when the real connection starts. Amen? So those of you who leave early, you're missing out on great fellowship and great food. And, you know, it's sad, but if you got to go, then you got to go. But if you don't have to rush off, stick around. We'd love to hang out with you. What time is it? Oh, it's time. We're going to do communion now. Okay, so you can put away your notes and ask the worship team to come up. Ushers, you can begin passing out the elements. Thank you, sir. Thank you so much, ushers. You know, back in the New Testament, when Jesus was teaching them to do communion, I don't believe they had cameras back then to take pictures, to remember things. Because if they did, maybe Jesus would have took a picture and said, remember me in this way. But they didn't have cameras. They didn't have iPhones to take selfies and stuff like that. So Jesus implemented this communion with bread and wine. And he said, do this so that you would remember me. Why do we do communion? Well, the bread represents the body of Christ, which was broken for us. The wine represents the blood, which was poured out for us for the forgiveness of our sins. And in Corinthians, he talks about this. He says, do this often in remembrance of me. And he said, before you do communion, you know, stop a little bit, okay? Take a break, time out. Meditate, pray. Make sure you're okay with God. The connection is good. So, they almost finished passing out. When they finish, we're going to pray. We make sure we're all okay, we're good. And then we're going to take communion together. We have the best ushers in the world. Look how patient they are, going aisle by aisle. And you know, Carlin, she put together the juice this morning. So thank you so much for not filling it all the way up to the rim and spilling on our white clothes. Of course, you're wearing black, but that's okay. Not going to show. So you know, the first Sunday of every month, we do communion. Wear dark clothes in case that grape juice splash. Yeah. I'm just talking common sense kind of stuff because I went home with grape juice stains on my clothes before. But, all right, let's pray. Lord, thank you so much that you have given us a way to remember you by taking communion. You said the bread represents your body, which was broken for us. The blood, which is poured out for the forgiveness of our sins. You did all of this for us to save us. And then you instituted this thing called communion, where we can remember what you did for us. So, Lord, we thank you. We ask that you would cleanse us, that you would forgive us of our sins. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, you are faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. So, Lord, if we have any sins right now, Lord, we give them to you. We confess them. We ask that you would forgive us. And as we take communion, Lord, help us to remember what you did for us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
On the night that Jesus was betrayed, he took some bread. He broke it and said, take this in remembrance of me. You may take of the bread. In the same way, he took the cup and said, drink. This is the blood of Christ. Drink in remembrance of me. You may take of the cup. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for what you did for us on the cross. You died so that we could have life. And we thank you for that. Thank you for saving us. Thank you for making that sacrifice. We remember you, not just today, but every single day when we wake up, when we go to bed, when we drive, when we're at work. Let us remember you and what you did for us. We are so grateful. Help us, Lord, never to drift away from you, but always stay connected in fellowship with you. Help us not to turn to the left or to the right. Mm-hmm. Help us to stay on track.
You've been listening to Pastor Scott Sharoma of New Hope East Hawaii. New Hope East Hawaii meets each Sunday at 9 a.m. at Christian Liberty Academy, 16-675 Milo Street in Kaʻau, Hawaii. For more information, call us at 808-936-6651 or visit www.newhopeeasthawaii.com.